Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On today's Caped Wonder Superman podcast, the Christopher Reeve autographed. His full name, shortened stack signature, real or fake. Autograph aficionado Brad Day explains how to invest in the real deal and spot a super fake.
Ask and you shall receive. Thanks to some super fans, we're even closer to finding the origin of that beloved Superman teaser music.
The Caped Wonder Superman Podcast with Jay Towers and Jim Bowers on iHeartRadio.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Lucky Episode Number 7. I'm Jay Towers in Detroit, Michigan, and as always, from his fortress just outside of Las Vegas, the real last son of Krypton, Jim Bowers. Jim, hello to you.
Hello, Jay. How are you today?
I'm excited. Podcast number 7. Response has been great, as we mention every week, but we put out a new podcast. We meet new fans from around the world that have the same passion we do with these fantastic Christopher Reeve Superman films.
Absolutely, Jay. And we've got some production history I'd like to share. Can I do that?
Yeah, we always like to kick off the podcast. What was being filmed for Superman the movie right now? And this would have been 1978?
Right, Jay, 1978. But a year earlier, February 1st to be specific, Christopher Reeve auditioned for the dual role of Superman and Clark Kent. And he did so over in England with Holly Palance. Many of you probably know the name. She starred in Richard Donner's The Omen in 1976. And, of course, her dad was Jack Palance, who won Best Supporting Actor for the movie City Slickers. So she was doing the part of Lois Lane opposite Chris. And I know all of you have seen his fantastic auditions. So that was in 77. And then the following year in 78, there were lots of things going on, mainly special effects work. Among them was something really unique. And that was, you remember the scene when Superman picks up Lex Luthor and said, you know, he was looking for the detonator, and he goes over to his desk and uses his X-ray vision. Remember that?
Yes.
And he scans Lex Luthor's safe and then his desk. Well, I've got continuity Polaroids that I recently pulled out and scanned, and this time in 78, they were photographing all of the interior contents of the desk and the safe on black velvet, which they could then later on optically composite into the footage of Lex Luthor's lair. So it's pretty neat how they were able to shoot all these separate interior pieces and then optically print them on top of the scene itself. Some of the other things that were going on, they were still filming the miniature XK-101 rocket scenes and doing some blue screen flying. Of course, we saw Chris flying around looking for Lex Luthor's lair and going to the Hoover Dam. And then something really interesting, one of my favorite special effects in Superman, was done by Les Bowie. Now, Les Bowie was one of the visual effects guys who actually received an Academy Award for Superman the movie, but unfortunately he passed away in January of 79, so he was not around to receive it. But he filmed the atomic explosion. Remember that?
Yeah.
When the Navy XK-101 rocket hits the San Andreas Fault. And he actually filmed that using a glass tank with a light bulb and some diluted paint. And he filmed it upside down, and that's how he achieved the big mushroom cloud. So you can read more about that in the January 79 issue of American Cinematographer magazine. That's definitely an issue you want to pick up and look at. Lots of details about how they did these visuals. Oh, man, we've got a big one right here. 1982, ABC Television, the extended cut of Superman the movie was first broadcast.
Sunday, the Man of Steel is coming.
That's Superman!
In his network television premiere.
Any more at home like you?
Not really, no.
Starring Marlon Brando, Gene Hackman, Margot Kidder, and Christopher Reeve as Superman.
Yeah, this was the two-night ABC television premiere of the longer version, about 45 extra minutes, and that premiered on the Sunday and Monday night movies, February 7th and 8th of 1982. And, of course, you can get that extended cut with the Blu-ray that came out from Warner Archive in October of 2017. So definitely get it if you don't have that yet.
You know, Lois falling from that helicopter, and that was it. That's how it ended, and you had to wait for the second night to see the second half.
That's right. She lets go of the seatbelt and starts falling, and they do a freeze frame and fade to black.
That was it, yeah.
Obviously, I was sitting in the same sofa the following night, eagerly awaiting part two.
A couple of other things here before we get to our special guest. Our super friend Brian Coleman did some digging for us, and we got a really nice surprise when looking for the music from the Superman the Movie teaser trailer, January of 1978, originally.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, Brian sends me a message and wanted me to share it with Jim, and we immediately put it on the Caped Wonder Superman Podcast Facebook page, but the teaser music, which I'll play here. This teaser music was actually used in the opening scene of a movie called, geez, is it Galaxina?
I guess so.
No, the movie wasn't too memorable.
Close enough. Great poster, though. Huh?
Yeah, the poster was great. And it was also used in a trailer for a movie called Laser Blast. These are two films that are really not super memorable, but you know what? There's that music. And it's great to have a copy of it. And I know our friend Julian is now trying to really go back and find that music. We've learned that it is part of a production music library that radio, television, production houses use back in the 70s. It was just a piece of production music, right, Jim? That was meant to sound like something a movie would use.
And we're talking about Julian Adderley from Toronto, who's a film editor and obviously a big music fan. So he'll keep pushing through. He's very persistent, and I hope we get some answers soon. We'll definitely follow up with you in future podcasts about this because it's been one of the great Superman movie mysteries.
Well, Jim, it's a special Caped Wonder Superman podcast, this episode 7, because we are fans of autographs, especially autographs from Superman the movie, Superman 2, 3, 4, any of the Christopher Reeve autographs, of course, and finding something authentic, something that you know is the real deal, is not as easy as you would think. And making sure you weed out the fakes, that's a big challenge. And there's one aficionado that we are really excited to have with us on the show today.
Our good friend Brad Day from Mississippi. Hello, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Oh, we're great. We're outstanding, especially since you're on here with us. Thanks so much for agreeing to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we should mention, too, Jim, that Brad did such a great job in Metropolis last year, really educating so many of us in the room on how to spot an authentic autograph.
Right. I thought last year when I decided to return that we needed to offer something new that hadn't been done during the celebration. So we came up with the idea of having a panel where people could come and take a look at some of the autographs that we have in our own collection and talk about where to go and what to do to make sure that they are as good, as well educated as possible about determining fake from real. And it's an exciting area of collecting. And I know, Brad, you're very passionate about it, as we are. And Brad has started a fantastic group on Facebook called Superman the Movie Autograph Collectors, I believe is the name of it. Is that right, Brad?
That's correct. Yeah, we started probably about a year and a half ago, and it's been a tremendous journey putting people together, connecting people, but more importantly, helping people resolve some things in their collection. And, you know, we've all been involved in some way or another where we've probably been taken advantage of and thinking something is actually real when it's not. And so I was passionate to make sure that we could try to help people in that regard, to make sure that they had the real thing in their collection, especially as it it surrounds the centerpiece, which is the Christopher Reeve Superman autograph.
When did you get into autograph collecting, Brad? Was it Superman that got you into it, or was it just movies in general?
That's a great question. I grew up collecting sports cards. My dad and I started a sports card store when I was about in eighth grade, and so I started enjoying autographs, but you know, my 80s pop culture kid in me always overrided my feelings for sports. And really, when it came to those great blockbuster movies like Star Wars and Superman and the Raiders of the Lost Ark and so many different iconic movies of our time, it kind of just drew me into kind of transitioning into collecting autographs. And so, you know, probably back around 5 or 6 years ago, I kind of got on a quest that I would search out what I believe would be the focal point of my collection. My favorite movie has always been Superman the movie, so I had to have a Christopher Reeve. When I began my quest in looking for this Christopher Reeve autograph, I started where everybody does, eBay, right?
Right,
so right,
eBay,
right, right.
eBay was the place, and I actually found a Walt Disney World certified Christopher Reeve signature that I absolutely adored. And unfortunately, I didn't know how to play the eBay game that well, lost out on it. And I thought, well, there's got to be another one out there. So I just decided to get on the internet and started going around and surfing for Christopher Reeve, Walt Disney World, this kind of thing, just trying to figure out, hey, is there a way that another one of these might be out there? And so I came across a guy by the name of Phil Sears. Phil Sears is a guy who actually is the lead authenticator of Walt Disney World signatures. Mm. Not Christopher Reeve signatures, but somehow I thought maybe he could put me in the right place, because these autographs were actually sold. I don't know if you've been to Disney World and seen like Sid's back in the day.
Sure.
They would have all of these wonderful autographs. And I thought, man, maybe somebody could show me where to find those, because Sid's, you know, closed down years and years and years ago, but they pop up every now and then. And nevertheless, Phil Sears, I called this guy. He had no clue. He's like, man, I authenticate Walt Disney signatures, but it's interesting that you contacted me, because back in the day, probably about 20 years ago, I was affiliated with an acting agency where they would have stars acting contracts. And he said, I just happened to save about 9 of Christopher Reeve's acting contracts.
Wow.
From being shredded. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. He's
did,
like,
did
no.
You,
and
did you say shredded?
Yeah. they would just shred these documents. You know, they were all signed by the stars, but, you know, they didn't care about them. It's California, you know, a star signature is a dime a dozen around there. But he ended up talking this person that he had a connection with to save those for him. He had them just placed back in a file for years. He said, Brad, I've never even pulled them out, but if you want them, I've got 9 of them. You know what? I'll be glad to send them to you. Just give me whatever, kind of make me an offer. And so we resolved on doing that. And that really just, I was like, you know what? This is amazing. An autograph is really, to me, a personal connection.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
With the individual, I always think, what were they thinking at that time when they put that signature down on that paper? What kind of emotions did Christopher Reeve have? Because those contracts were signed during the making of Superman the movie. And so anyway, Jim, you and I actually have a connection with these acting contracts, because two of my dear friends that we're connected with now, one of them being you, actually has one of these contracts.
That's right. And that's really was the start of our friendship, Brad. I remember you reaching out to me. I think it was 2014. And obviously, when I got the scan of this contract, my mind was blown, because I'd already owned a lot of Chris Reeve autographed items, but definitely not one of those. And it's such a beautiful autograph because he wrote it completely out. And we'll talk about that more. Christopher, the word Christopher is completely written out, every letter, and obviously Reeve. And it's just a beautiful collectible. So that's what got us started, wasn't it?
It was absolutely what got us started. There was actually one of the contracts in there that Christopher Reeve signed when he was signing on to do Somewhere in Time. I think the name of it, like, the was Bid Time Return or something like
right,
that. I can't
right.
exactly remember.
That's
but,
right.
Lynn Anderson ended up with that. She's a very passionate fan, very good friend of each of ours, Jay, and of course you, Jim. And so anyway, I've loved being able to kind of spread the love with those, because, you know, it was such an important part to me getting into this hobby. And it was such a unique item to have to start my collection with. And it's really just grown from there. But that's really kind of what kind of set me off in this crusade, if you will, to be passionate about owning Christopher Reeve signatures. And so there's so many different aspects about identifying those signatures that are real, those that are not real. And so, you know, again, when we started this out, it was a lot of fun, but it's turned into a very much an educational journey for myself and for others. And as a community, as we've come together to make sure that we hold ourselves in highest regard when it comes to owning things in our collection that we know to be real.
I'll tell you, you know, I love hearing this story so much, Brad. And Jim, you know, a couple of years ago, Jim had asked me, you know, how many Christopher Reeve autographs do you have? And will you send me some pictures of them? And I did. And the two first Christopher Reeve autographs I have came from SIDS at Walt Disney World. And reason being, I in 1999 started working for a station in Detroit, and it was owned by ABC. So part of the deal with ABC was that you got 35% off hotels and you got 40% off merchandise at any Disney store. So I'd go on these Disney vacations and broadcasts, and I'd go to SIDS and get 40% off anything in that autograph store. And that's
wow.
where I got my Adam West and Burt Ward. It's where I got my Lou Ferrigno, and it's where I have my two Christopher Reeve autographs that are framed so beautifully and have
wow.
that nice that have that gold sticker on them.
Yes.
And you want, and for me, this is even before eBay really became so hot, but I always thought, well, listen, I'm buying it at Walt Disney World. It kind of doesn't get more reputable than that, and always purchase them with confidence.
I love that story, Jay. Yeah, that's great.
And you know, the whole sense of Disney and the nostalgia that's wrapped up in that as well. And Jay, just another little side note here. The Christopher Reeve that I lost out on eBay, I was a little overly passionate to the point where I contacted the person that sold it to give me the information of the guy that got it. I ended up with it, nevertheless.
Wow, great.
Oh, you
now
did.
In my collection.
Well, when was that? When was that, Brad?
Oh, gosh, it was about the same time, because it had been probably 2013 or so, right before we began to talk. So it was right around the time that I got the signatures on the acting contracts. So, yeah, it was neat that it ended up back in my collection. I was persistent, to say the least.
Well, the very first Christopher Reeve autograph that I ever got was from Christopher Reeve himself in person. And I know many of you probably know the story of him appearing at the 1994 Atlanta Dixie Trek Convention, the only U.S. convention he ever attended. So the very first autograph I ever got, Brad, was Chris signing it in front of me, and then I photographed him signing it. And that's the picture of him in the screen test costume. So it went from there.
And you know what? That's the epitome of real. You know, it doesn't get any, I mean, in the industry, they call that exact proof. But the fact that you had the opportunity to witness Chris signing in person, to see the strokes right there. And of course, by that time, 1994, he had went through many of different style signatures, as we all do, and especially those people who autograph throughout their career. And so to be able to have an experience like that to share with others is just unbelievable.
Well, Brad, that's one of the things that one of your missions of the group is really for everybody to share what they have and to show examples of how Chris Reeve, how his autograph and many of the other stars' autographs have changed over time. So there's many different styles of Christopher Reeve's autograph, and that's something that I know I've learned a lot about. It all depended on the decade. It depended on where he was, what he was doing when he signed, all of that. So that's really helped so many people in that group, and I love that they've all come together to share and learn from each other.
It's really neat, Jim. And, you know, you think about this too, Jay. We're amateurs. We don't claim to be professionals. Mm-hmm. We're people who have studied this, and we don't make a living do it. We don't try to collect any type of fees. That's not what we're about. But the fact that we can share in the knowledge, and all of us grow in the knowledge over time, because you've got people that have giftings out there that have good eyes for certain things. And so the fact that we can share that and learn from each other, that's the name of the game. That's why we are doing what we're doing. And we feel like that that it's contributed to our community and Superman community in a great way.
Yeah, talk about a great way for to use social media in a positive way. I wanted to ask you, I want to give you a hypothetical here.
Sure.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, let's hypothetically say you just won $1,000 on a scratch-off lottery ticket, and it is your dream to have a Christopher Reeve autograph. What advice do you give to that person with $1,000 in their hand to find something as authentic as they can get?
Well, first of all, if I've got $1,000, I want to get Christopher Reeve on something that's Superman. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
We can find Chris on a lot of things, but as we know, that's the iconic role that we want to see Chris on, something Superman related. And so the good thing is this: there are auctions out there that have Chris's signature on Superman items all the time. Usually if they're going through a major auction, let's say like R&R auction, things of that nature, then they're probably going to come at a premium because they're trusted, reputable places to go that you know. They could be accompanied by, you know, a major third-party authenticator. But the main thing is you want to go somewhere where it is without a doubt Chris's signature. And you go to eBay, there's a lot of suspect. Now, as you can tell, when you do go to eBay, if there is a letter of authenticity that's from one of the major authenticators, such as I would say Beckett Authentication, PSA, JSA. Those are the three main, what I call major third-party authenticators of autographs. Then, you know, then you have to worry about sometimes, well, has it been, you know, manipulated? Have they borrowed, you know, this from this and tried to counterfeit the LOA? So you can't just check your brains at the doors and just accept it. I mean, this is 2019, right? You have to make sure. And so whatever you do, you have to do your due diligence, whether it be to connect with people who know more than you do, whether it be to possibly purchase one off of these major auction sites, or make sure that if you're about to make a major purchase that you run it through, even like PSA, and I believe that Beckett's about to come out with this. They actually have a quick opinion for $10 that you can send out to for them to look at it, and you'll get a response within 24 hours. What a great resource, right?
Great.
$10. Right, right. Mm-hmm. I'll spend $10 all day long. I can't tell you how many times I've done that just even prior to my knowledge of Chris's signature. And so if you're looking at a starting point, that's what I would do. And if you're going to have, you know, Chris on a Superman item, depending on what type of signature it is, whether it's full, whether it's stacked, you know, you're looking at $500, $600+ anyway. But then again, if you get a little bit better with your eye, you learn a little bit more, you know, the right people, sometimes you can find those, what do you call it? Those diamonds in the rough that slip through the cracks. It's possible. It's possible, but you just have to make sure, again, that you do your due diligence.
And really, what is the best way Brad, to be absolutely sure that you've got an authentic autograph besides standing in front of the star? What's the next best?
The next best thing is going to be what I call a certificate of authenticity or a letter of authenticity from one of the major companies.
And usually you have to send in the photograph for them to physically have to be able to do that. Is that right?
You usually do. But again, like I said, the quick opinions can help expedite the process in that. And then let's say they do say, you know, they say, hey, look, we believe this to be true. They don't have it in their hand, Jim, so they can't, you know, inspect it readily. But based on what they can tell, they'll give you an idea. And look, they're quick to fail those things as well, because here's the situation. They don't want to definitively say something is Chris's or someone else or another actor if they can't really do their due diligence, which is to inspect it. But here's the thing. If I'm going to go after one, I want to know that it is definitively Chris's. There are some of those signatures out there, guys, that the third-party authenticators don't know if it's real. Some people that have looked at it forever, and it might be. You know what I'm saying? It could be this rushed signature that Chris made upon making for a fan and going through a crowd, whatever. And you know what? That's not the one I want in my collection, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't want somebody to say, hey, maybe, maybe not, I can't tell. I want it to be where there's, without a doubt, Chris's signature, and there are his signatures out there like that, guys. There's plenty of them.
Well, let me ask you this, because not everyone is out to be malicious, and here's a great example. I mean, I have had a Superman the movie poster autographed by multiple cast members in my office for years, and I truly believe that the gentleman I bought it from, he was from New Jersey, had a long conversation with him. We grew up in the same neighborhood. I believe that he thought he had something authentic.
Sure.
I don't think he was trying to scam me. He was going through a divorce. He said, I paid a lot for this. I had a custom frame. This was not rolled up and sent in a tube. I mean, this thing was framed and this guy loved it. And I've had it all this time, and I send a picture to Brad, and you know, Brad, always, you're so nice about it. You want to know the good news or the bad news, but this poster, you really didn't believe that maybe half of those signatures were authentic. And, you know, I believe the guy, but I think somebody took him.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, what do we do when we're in that situation? A lot of times the temptation is what? To pass it on, to get rid of it, to recoup our money, when in reality, what we try to do is we just try to make sure that we don't pass that on to someone else, you know, because I've seen that happen in the hobby so many times. And the thing is, guess what? It doesn't make any of us ignorant. It doesn't make any of us less intelligent. We have all been hacked.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brad, every one of us, Jim, Jay, Brad, we all have. And that's probably why we're so passionate about it, because we don't want anyone else to feel those emotions and feelings that we did when we learned that one of the centerpieces in our collection wasn't what we thought it was. That's demoralizing.
Yeah.
That's right. It really is. And, you know, I own a similar poster, Jay. There are 3 or 4 autographs on it that I am convinced are authentic, but the rest of them, not at all. And I've actually run a few of those by Brad, and he agrees. So it's happened to me, too, and I bought one of these posters years ago on eBay. Again, I think the seller was not being malicious, but, you know, I've learned a lot between now and then, and that just happens. I've got 3 or 4 other autographs I'm sure are not authentic. that I bought a long time ago at the very beginning of all of this, you know.
Brett, so. Does that happen in a sense that, you know, you think about even in the last couple of years before she passed away, I mean, Margot Kidder did a lot of shows, Sarah Douglas, Jack O'Halloran, that maybe they get together, three or four of them sign a poster, and then does somebody just go for it and fake the Christopher Reeve?
100%.
Wow.
It happens. Here's the thing. Probably the most passionate fans out there about autographs are Star Wars fans. Star Wars community, and I've had this conversation multiple times with Jim, they will just go out there and they'll try to wrap up as many signatures as they can from people that were on the production crew to actors, you name it. They'll start any kind of project, crazy projects. You know, let's say we're going to get all the people from Industrial Light and Magic that worked on this scene to sign this thing. So it's crazy out there. But here's what I have found out. The people know that there are passionate fans out there, and there are people out there that are malicious in their approach, and they are out there to make money, and they will get the smaller stars that, you know, to me, that's the worst of atrocities in this industry, if you ask me, are the people that will try to cover up or mask the fake autograph with things that are real around it. And it's a ploy, it's a tactic that's been used for many years, and it is one that unfortunately has gotten more people than we would ever like to admit.
Right. Mark Hamill has actually been sort of on his own crusade to expose a lot of these people, because he's seen his autograph forged on many Star Wars items over the years.
Yeah, and you know, in the great, I would think that Christopher Reeve, had he still been around today, would do the same thing.
No, I have no doubt about that, because I think he would have appeared at a lot of shows, and he definitely would have been vocal about something if he noticed it was off or it wasn't his.
Yeah. I believe that 100%.
I have a and Jim has it now, and he's been holding on to it for me and scanning it, but I have a Superman 3 script that the cast signed for Dusty, who worked on the production, and you know, I treasure that. That was from a great auction, and there's an example of a real piece of history, where you know that this guy worked on this production and basically went around and got everybody to sign it, and then it sat in a drawer somewhere for a while before someone sold it. But that being said, how do you feel about autographs that are personalized? You know, maybe someone's passed on, maybe they just want to sell it. Are they more likely to be authentic if they're personalized?
Well, let me just say this. I've seen your piece, Jay, and it's one of the most stunning pieces I've ever seen. The reason why... Now, when you look at it, something being personalized, something not being personalized, that was a treasured memento for that person that worked on set. And there was a lot of emotion, a lot of history, a lot of nostalgia. In that situation, 100% does that personalization, I believe, makes that item more valuable. Yeah. Okay. That there's just a story there. Everybody loves a narrative. Everybody loves looking back on something, going, you know what, this is what was happening. This is how special this person was. And I've read through those, and there's, you know, the people obvious that Dust, whoever Dusty was very beloved, because there were some wonderful, wonderful sentiments offered within some of the signatures and the stories inside those signatures. But anyway, that being said, there are people and there are fans out there that appreciate a personalization or an inscription. You know, that's one thing that I'd like to kind of cover just real quick. You know, personalization is when they actually make that out to a specific person. It's usually accompanied by some sort of inscription. You know, I think Jim probably has some of his Christopher Reeve autographs with an inscription, whether it be best wishes or whether it be something else that he's extended to make it a personal moment. But to me, and I've always heard this from like Steve Sirkin, who is the editor of Autograph Live magazine. To me, if there's more writing, it's just better. Number one, it authenticates the person even more, whether it's personalized or not. There are signature traits there that validates that came from that individual that signed it. But not only that, but who's going to argue about having more writing when it comes to, you know, one of your treasured icons? So the way I look at it, I love it. I think it's great. Does it mean that it's going to resell to somebody that says, I don't want Brad's name on there, or I don't want John's name on there? It, you know, it could impact how you market it. But, you know, for me, I'm not one of these people that let items in my collection go all that easy. And so it would be special to me. But if you wanted to turn around, Jay, and market that, it might be a little bit more difficult to find an audience for something. Yeah. That has a personalization, if that makes sense.
One of the nice things about Christopher Reeve is that he made a great effort during and after production of these Superman films, and I'm sure he did it with all of his movies, is that he recognized all of the people that he appreciated so much that helped pull it together. And whether it was from the Pinewood Studios, a lady who supervised the dining room, I think we've seen that autograph online for sale. And I've got one here that's written to David Tomlin, who was the assistant director on Superman, and he writes, "Thanks for holding the whole thing together. See you on the next one. Your pain in the ass, Chris." There's been a few that are so special out there, and I've got a personal letter that Chris wrote to his chauffeur, one of his aviator jackets, as a present for being such a great chauffeur and friend. And he makes a point to say, thanks for being my friend. And that's what's so great about collecting Chris Reeve stuff is every now and then you'll come across one of these, and I consider them some of the most special autographed items ever.
Every one of those inscriptions that Chris wrote indicated the consummate gentleman he was. Absolutely. Was he not a classy individual? Just look at the way he wrote. I mean, I'm looking at one of the pieces that I have. I have a handwritten letter from Christopher Reeve that was written in London on October 1st of 1979 and sent to a couple in Michigan who I believe he met them while he was on set during Somewhere in Time and might have even stayed at their house. But he wrote back to them and he said, "Many thanks for your kind invitation you sent back in July. The letter has been many places, from Mackinac to New York to LA to London. Obviously, I'm sort of out of the action at the moment as I'm filming Superman 2 at Pinewood Studios. I just wanted to thank you for your kindness and wish you the very best. Yours, Christopher Reeve." Is that not amazing? The guy,
that's amazing.
I mean, he carried that letter with him with the intent of making sure that it got back to show his gratitude to them. And yet, I get goosebumps just thinking about the person and character of Christopher Reeve. It just is overwhelming.
Well, he was very, very considerate at Dixie Trek. I sat at the table with him while he autographed pictures for people, which were all free, by the way. That was just an entry fee. And when people would walk up, and if it was an item he hadn't seen, he would make a point to say, "Wow, where did you get this? What is this about? Where would you like me to sign it? Would you like me to put your name? How about if I sign right here for you?" And so he was very considerate of everyone that came up, and he took his time. And yeah, it does say a lot. One of the stars, Superman stars, told me not too long ago that they remember Chris setting up a table in the studio with his stack of fan mail and making a point to handwrite letters to people. So he made that effort whenever he could.
And that's why he's our Superman, guys.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about the different ways that Christopher Reeve signed his signature. And I know over time it changed a little bit, but Brad, if you could just kind of take us through the most common signatures that you'll see.
Yeah, I would say probably the most common signatures you'll see is what we term in the hobby a stack signature, where his first name is on top and the last name is on bottom. It's a fairly rushed signature that's condensed, and that's going to be the one that he signed most of the time. You know, very few times, unless it was a legal document or unless he was actually sitting down at a signing, would he actually write something with his full signature where you could make out every letter. And it's, for example, a great example would be the check that you own.
Yeah.
That check has one of the most beautiful Christopher Reeve signatures I've ever seen, and what an amazing personal item to have. That's an example. It's on a legal document, of course, and he's going to sign it as such. But over the years, his signature evolved, you know, as he got older. You know, our signatures evolve all the time, but even someone like that who took a lot of pride in his signature, a lot of times they morph, they experiment. And so that's what makes Chris's so difficult to identify, because there are several changes. And why it's difficult to go ahead for even the professionals to make a judgment call and put their stamp of approval on something, because there are many different examples out there. As a matter of fact, I have a library of exemplars, and those exemplars, they are from many different eras, and we try to surmise as to when they might have been signed, and that just kind of helps us to get a timeline. Anytime an item's dated, I think Jim even has a poster that has Chris's signature that's dated. Those are wonderful ways to keep up with where they were or where he was in his signature during that point in time of his career. And so there's just so many examples out there, but you have to make sure that you understand that when it comes to a full Christopher Reeve signature, those items are going to bring a premium. You're not going to get those cheap. Those are not going to be the things that you're able to get out there for probably under $500. And I've seen them even go beyond $1,000, but you can tell why, because that's a primo item. If you have something full signature, for example, like your check, Jay.
Yeah, that check, by the way, is Christopher Reeve, 38 West 83rd Street, New York. He wrote it on November 14th, 1978. It's check number 620. He wrote it to New Jersey Automobile Insurance for $300. And yeah, a beautiful signature. And they cashed that check on December 26, 1978. And you have to wonder if they knew what kind of check they were cashing and who signed it.
That's awesome. There was a lot going on during that time of his life, wasn't there?
Right. They were about to have the all those different premieres of Superman the movie before the movie actually was released to the public. So yeah, he probably went home to New York to relax a little bit before all that got started.
That's a tremendous example. Not many people have an item of Chris's like that, much less a signature like that. But yeah, you know, there are so many different examples out there. That's why it just makes it so difficult. If you're on this journey to get a Christopher Reeve autograph or to expand your collection, Brando or even, you know, Hackman or even some of the people that you didn't see that signed many things, I mean, you need to make sure that you're on a journey with a community of people that can help you along the way. It's a huge, huge deal.
You really need to do your homework. Trust your intuition. If it doesn't feel right, step away from it, because there probably will be other opportunities to find just the right autograph for your collection. Now, let's talk about rarity for a minute. Mm. Brad, you have one of the rarest Superman autographed items I've ever seen, and that is a Marlon Brando Jor-El photo with a full autograph, and I believe he also wrote something out on it. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, he wrote it to Lynn, warmest best wishes to you always, sincerely, Marlon Brando. And Marlon Brando's signature just alone is just difficult, and they're out there, but they're usually priced. They're hard to acquire. You would have, you know, what you said a while ago, Jim, that would be a major investment piece, because just on an index card, or if he wrote an inscription, but something on a Superman item. For example, Beckett's lead authenticator, Steve Grad, he's actually a member of our Facebook group, which is incredible within itself, and he actually is active. He'll engage with many people in there, and I had just chatted with him one day, and he said, Brad, that might be one of four or five items that Marlon Brando ever signed that was Superman related. Because number one, during that time, you got to think about it, he was coming off The Godfather. It was he was at a peak in his career. He only worked, a couple of 3 weeks or so on the movie, and therefore people believe that those were only signed on the set. So whatever happened to maybe the 20 maybe he signed, who knows? But if there are more than three or four of those, I would be surprised. And I was just so lucky. Actually, one of the guys in our group had that item, and had and it was kind of my tenacity again. I saw it after the fact. He actually put it up on eBay, And sometimes I'll go through eBay. Y'all probably have done this before. If you look through something, you'll go through the sold items to see what's been sold. That sucker came up, and I like to pull what little hair I had left out on my head. I was like, you got to be kidding. I know the guy that had that piece. And so I said, hey, I cannot believe, did you say? He's like, yeah, I just needed to sell it, and I should have thought about you, blah, blah, blah. But here's the guy that – I sold it to, and all that person was wanting to do was flip it. And the owner was actually in Germany. And so anyway, I guess it was about a month and a half later, and it ended up in my collection. What can I say?
And it's funny because, you know, Jim, we talked about this, and you said, you know, Brad's probably the guy to talk to. But one of the most prized possessions I feel like I have is something that I bought at a Motor City Comic Con in Detroit probably 5 years ago. It was close to $4,000. It is a framed cast signature of everybody from Superman the movie. I think it's got maybe 15 signatures on it, but it's – and they're all different, Brad. You've seen this. I sent it to you, but some are on envelopes, some are on index cards, some are taken off checks. Somebody assembled the cast. It wasn't a movie poster, and you thought everything on there looked solid. It was mm-hmm. just the Marlon Brando that, and I thought that would be the most authentic because it's signed on the back of an envelope, which I thought maybe he could have signed, sitting at his desk, or he could have signed it in the 90s. I don't know, but you said that one definitely just doesn't make the cut, and sure enough, I looked online, and yeah, you look at Marlon Brando signatures, I'm going, geez, how did I have this thing for 5 years and never realize it?
Yeah, it happens, Jay. And you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of times, if it's even though he's not necessarily a side note character, he's a major character. But at the same time, you get so just fixated on the Christopher Reeve, the Margot Kidder, that a lot of times that's not even going to pick up your eye because you're trying to think about the major people that you see on screen the most in the movies. And so it's actually very common that you know, that someone like that could slip through the cracks when it comes to making sure that whatever items you have signed by the cast, you know, it's so hard to get a cast signed item. If you were to see a cast signed Superman the movie poster, I'm going to go out and say 99% of those are probably fake, especially if they have people like Marlon Brando on it, if they have people like John Williams. And there's so many, you know, that would be worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And you see, if it went for $600, $700, you just know right off the bat, there's just not going to be very many things like that out there.
Right.
That's right. That's right. We've got to find a Marlon Brando 4J, Brad. That needs to be one of our missions.
I'm going to make that a mission of mine. I love searching things like that out. So Jay, let us help you on that crusade.
Oh, good, because what I'm seeing on eBay right now, I found a nice one for $7,000, and I think I think I'll keep my fake up for a little while.
Hold on, let me get my PayPal account number for you.
Right,
we'll do you better than that, Jay. It'll be okay, I promise.
And Brad, you're looking for a Superman the movie poster with just Chris Reeve's autograph on it. Is that right?
Yeah, that one's actually escaped my collection. I've seen, gosh, Jim, maybe two or three pop up on eBay, and probably the only ones that I've actually seen that I know outside of those that are real that are actually the ones that are in your collection. So I've actually had the privilege of coming out to visit with you, and I loved looking at those in person. It just made me all giddy. But yeah, that's the one that's kind of got me going. I got a little search out there, but they're very difficult to locate.
Brad, we've already talked about multiple autographs on posters. We've also talked about personalization on autographs. Let's talk about your opinion of having someone else's autograph or multiple autographs on an item when perhaps just Chris Reeve is pictured, but there's other people's autographs on it. You know, we talked last night about sometimes an item is more appealing if it just has that actor's autograph on it, not a bunch of autographs.
Yeah. You know, sometimes that's actually a turn off to other people if they're searching out a Christopher Reeve autographed item. And there are other, you know, for whatever, whether it's aesthetic purposes, whether it's just the idea that, you know, hey, Chris is the focal point whatever it might be. And here's the thing. This is what I would tell you. Do what you want to do. Hmm. This is your piece. You
That's
enjoy
right.
it. You enjoy it. There, you know, if there is a item out there with that has a picture of Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder, why would I not want both of them on there? If I had the opportunity, yeah, I'm going to get Margot on there.
We want to thank Brad Day for joining us today. I tell you what, we have so much more to talk to Brad about, including some of the rare Christopher Reeve items that were signed over the years, some that are very, very sought after. Also, the Topps trading cards, the Superman the Movie cards that we love so much. Brad is going to talk to us about having those cards autographed and how hard are they to find and how hard is it to authenticate some of those cards. So if you want to find Brad on Facebook, that's easy to do. His page is fantastic. Facebook.com/groups/Superman the Movie Autographs, or just type in Superman the Movie Autographs to join in on some of the discussion. So we thank Brad. A couple of thank yous and a couple of hellos to actor, writer, director Ty Justice on Instagram, Stuart, who has a Mint Condition Museum on Instagram, Sabino, who's Doomsday745, loves the podcast, is hoping for an episode on Chris's costume, very similar to the articles that he has read on CapedWonder.com. So thanks to these people that have reached out directly and just said simply, love the podcast.
Well, we've got a really exciting guest concerning costumes coming up, Jay. And I was just speaking with him earlier today, Martin Lakin. So look for a podcast where we talk with him in great detail about Christopher Reeve costumes. You know, I want to do a big shout out to my friend, longtime friend, Bill Williams. Now, Bill Williams is my chronology guy who has done so much work for Caped Wonder on all of the details of the production. And as most of you might know, that we don't have the luxury that, say, a person like George Lucas has, where all of his production information is all in one big warehouse. The Superman production notes and information and contact sheets and all that were scattered all over the globe, and we've managed to pull a lot of that together with Bill's help. So we'll probably have you on a podcast one day soon. Hey, you know, Jay, I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
You and I are always talking about how excited we get even 40 years later when we discover something new, where we get something new in the mail, or we notice something at a show or on eBay and we get excited all over again. How did that item slip by us? And we just can't resist on usually bidding and hopefully winning on something when it's like on eBay, right? Well, anyway, today, just about an hour ago, I got in the copy of the February 1979 issue of Box Office Magazine. What do? I start flipping through it. And on February 7th, 1979, 40 years ago this week, Superman was awarded the Golden Halo Award by the Southern California Motion Picture Council. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never heard of the Golden Halo Award.
No.
And so I was amazed that Superman won another award, and I never heard about it before. And then I flipped to a few more pages, and there's another article about Superman winning, this time the Blue Ribbon Award from the National Screen Council. So there you go. One magazine 40 years later to this week, and I learned more stuff. I love it. The 2018 awards, Burt Ward was there. He may have gotten an award, but I don't know the details yet about that Golden Halo, and I'm going to find out, hopefully with Bill Williams' help. As far as awards go, we're going to have a very special podcast in a couple of months where we talk about Superman and all the awards that it did receive, because April 9th, 1979 is when the Oscars happened, And we're going to have a very special guest on here. So I am really, really excited about talking about that, Jay.
Well, for your consideration, we're hoping for a podcast award next year. You never know.
You never know. It's amazing. I can't believe how far we've come already. And we've got some great guests lined up. This year is going to be just spectacular.
Don't forget, Motor City Comic Con is coming to Metro Detroit in May. We're ready for a big, intimate evening with Sarah Douglas at Petrozello's. It's going to be fantastic. It's all for a great charity, and all those details are up at capewonder.com. All that being said, Jim, we've got to go. It's been a great, great podcast. Special thanks to Brad Day. We will be back next week, as always, on iHeartRadio or wherever you find great podcasts. Jim, have a wonderful week.
You too. We're all part of the same team, Jay.
Good night.
You've been listening to the Cape Wonders Superman podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Jay Towers is a Detroit TV anchor and morning radio host on 100.3 WNIC Detroit. Follow Jay on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Towers. Jim Bowers is the founder and editor of CapeWonder.com, the home of Cape Wonder Superman imagery. Follow Jim on Instagram at Cape Wonder and on Twitter at Cape Wonder Jim.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.